Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Nina Keck. A bill requiring foods containing genetically modified organisms to be labeled is up for discussion again this year in the legislature. It's been a contentious issue in Vermont and all across the country. Similar bills and initiatives have been introduced in over 30 states, but so far only two have passed: Connecticut and Maine. Connecticut passed a bill last summer that would mandate GMO labeling, but only if a number of other New England states passed similar legislation. Well, last week, Maine's Governor Paul LePage signed a similar bill into law. There was a press conference at the State House in Augusta yesterday where supporters celebrated.
My name is Ted Quade, and I'm the executive director of the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association. And I want to thank you all for joining us today to celebrate the signing of a bill that will ultimately give everybody in Maine the right to know on GMOs.
Steve Missler is the State House Bureau Chief for the Portland Press Herald and the Maine Sunday Telegram. He's been covering the story, and he joins us now by phone. Good to talk to you, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
Maine and Connecticut are the only two states to pass GMO labeling laws, but it's a bit strange as neither of those laws will actually require labeling anytime soon, if I've got the story right.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, Maine and Connecticut, when they enacted these laws, they were amended from their original form to include a contiguous states provision, which essentially means that other states, neighboring states, would have to enact similar laws before the Maine law and the Connecticut law go into effect.
So I haven't heard of a law being enacted that has that sort of caveat before. What's the reason for that?
Well, the reason in Maine, and I think probably you could make the same assumption about the one in Connecticut too, was that people here, lawmakers and our attorney general, are concerned about a lawsuit from the biotech industry, or more appropriately, the Grocers Association of America, that would challenge the constitutionality of a law like this, and so as sort of a compromise, lawmakers here drafted this contiguous states language, which was sort of designed as a way to defray legal costs if there was such a legal challenge to these laws. Now, the caveat to that is that Maine, for example, is really waiting on a GMO labeling law to pass in New Hampshire before its law can go into effect, because New Hampshire is the only contiguous state that we share a border with. So, all eyes are on New Hampshire for the supporters of the GMO law here in Maine. And to some extent, Vermont, I think, which, as you noted in the segment, I think it abandoned its effort initially, probably citing those legal concerns.
Well, that was the argument that seemed to come up a lot, that they were, the Vermont officials were really worried about a lawsuit from a very well-funded industry. But you mentioned that if all the northeastern states had this law in place, that I guess if they got sued, they'd all pool their resources for legal defense. Is that the idea?
That is the idea. And I think, we'll see if that happens. I mean, again, Maine is really waiting on New Hampshire and to see if other states are going to do it too.
Well, the other interesting thing I noticed about Maine's new laws, there was a very interesting alliance of factions that came together to pass the bill in Maine. You have the organic farmers, then you have liberal Democrats, and then you have libertarian Republicans, and it was signed into law by a Republican governor, LePage. So how did all those different players come together on this, and how interesting as a reporter was that to watch?
It was interesting because it was this weird sort of convergence of people who are often on the opposite sides of most issues. But on this particular one, they came together. I think the other factor in the main legislation was that the sponsor of this bill, who was a Republican, Lance Harville, he really worked hard to gather over 120 co-sponsors, and they were from both parties. And he really gathered support very early, and he pretty much outraced the lobbyists and opponents of this particular bill, who were a bit surprised, I think, that he was able to do it and do it so quickly. And so once he had built that coalition of support, the bill had a lot of momentum, and I think the only question was how was the state going to deal with this legal concern, should there be a legal challenge. So I think that was one big part of it. And I think as we look to New Hampshire to see what's next, the folks I've spoken with there have noted that it's become more partisan there. So, you know, that same coalition of Republicans and Democrats and independents doesn't seem to exist in New Hampshire, where I think that bill is primarily being pushed by Democrats.
Well, let's step back a little and just talk about the pros and cons of the bill. When you heard people making arguments for and against, what were the key for and the key against arguments when you talk about labeling food?
Well, the way the supporters pushed it here was that consumers have a right to know whether or not their ingredients in their food has been genetically modified. And that was a very powerful argument for the supporters. The opponents basically said, look, there is no scientific evidence to show that that genetically modified foods, which are, I think, account for something like 70% of the foods that are sold in a regular supermarket.
Yeah, I read that. I was surprised by that. It's a lot.
Yeah, and they were basically saying, look, there's no evidence to say that these foods are any more harmful than, you know, organically grown tomatoes, for example. And then the counter argument, you know, the response to that counter argument was that, look, the USDA pretty much leaves it up to industry to test the safety of these products because they are inherently patented. They are GMO ingredients are patented by the biotech industry, and so they have not, you know, in order to they have not been allowed to be independently tested because the USDA does not require that of the biotech industry.
So how are people in Maine reacting? Was this a highly discussed topic of conversation or not so much?
It was last year, and I think a little bit of the wind was taken out of their sails, supporters anyway, because New Hampshire, the odds of this actually going into effect look a little bit bleak because of what's going on in New Hampshire. Back in, I think, was either November or December, the subcommittee there voted not to pass the GMO bill. And so, you know, I think for some it's a bit of a setback, but at the same time, there also is quite a bit of hope. I mean, it was quite a rally here yesterday at the State House from the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association, which I think you played a clip of leading up to this. But so there is a sense of hope, but there's also a sense of, okay, well, you know, we really are waiting on New Hampshire, which essentially has veto power over Maine's law.
All right. Well, and already 64 countries around the world have food labels. That I thought was very interesting. Steve Missler is the State House Bureau Chief for the Portland Press Herald and the Maine Sunday Telegram. Hey, Steve, thanks a lot for the update.
Hey, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.